Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in the studio with Carrie, Miss Tara, myself, Sandy, and we have Hannah today.
Hosanna.
Whoops. Hosanna. I did that all the time when Hannah and you were both here.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
Well, it is for me.
They're both H names. They both come from the Bible.
Yeah. Yep.
And they both end with a
Yep. I'll take that excuse. Yeah.
It works.
Tell us about yourself a little bit.
Well, I was a student under Tara at Grace University, and I graduated about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So I have recently accepted an internship here in Omaha, so I'm back in town with my fellow Omaha friends, and I'm excited to be here with Tara and the rest of you guys today.
Yeah, we're glad you're here, too.
She's doing internship at City Light Midtown, mm-hmm. and so we're excited that she's going to be in the city for the next 2 years at least.
Yeah.
Until she goes off to the next place as they send her out.
That's exciting.
God, I'm so happy.
Exciting.
I was glad when she said, hey, do you need help with the radio? I'm like, always.
Always, that's
always.
Right.
Yes.
It's really scary when it's just Tara and me. Scary for Tara.
Scary for both of us.
Well, we're in the Acts 2, 1 through 13, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost.
We sure are. And I want to give a heads up in that in a month, we're going to have a new series starting called The Foreigner, The Stranger, The Alien, and The Sojourner. And I'm excited about what we'll be doing. And this is going to be really fun going through that series. So you have to come back next month so that you can see what God has to teach us through his narratives in the Bible about how to treat someone that's not like me. And today, so that means we are finishing up the meta-narrative that we have been doing literally for the last 12 months. We've been doing this for a year. This will be the completion. And this is Pentecost. That's the last story that we have in the meta-narrative set that we have been studying. And it's such a beautiful passage of Scripture. We will not read it all in its fullness at each radio show because of the fact that it is a very long chapter. So I have broken it up to where we're going to do it in pieces. And so that's kind of the way this one will be. So it's a little bit different than how we've done it in the past. So I just wanted to give everybody a notice on that. So, Carrie, if you don't mind, would you read for us Acts 2, 1 through 4?
Okay. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying,
You're good. You're
okay.
Good. Finish the sentence.
Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?
Perfect.
Okay.
My translation actually says believers for the last part. Okay, this is such a good message in our scripture. And so we had just looked at in the Ascension and how Jesus had told them that they were to wait until the Holy Spirit had come. They were to go to Jerusalem and that they were to wait. And that when that happened, he would then make them his witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. And so this time of 10 days has passed and they have been waiting. What we have to recognize in this passage is they are together. They're in one spirit, one accord. They are praying together in one accord, and they're in one place when this happens as a group. And so a great movement happens. Now, what I want us to hear is Pentecost is the first fruits, festival of first fruits, and it's also the wheat harvest. That we get this in Numbers. And this is the time in the Old Testament for the first fruits that the law would have been given to the people. But for the New Testament, it's about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so in Old Testament and New Testament, it's about the receiving of what will guide us in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty powerful. And the fact that it is called first fruits is also important because if we were to just do a study on the first fruits in Scripture, the first of things, like the first church or the first of any aspect, you will go and see that God holds it as sacred. Very important how first fruits are handled.
It's really about this idea of obedience always precedes the blessing. Mm-hmm. And so this idea, it's really awesome how it says when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So it's this idea of obedience to what Jesus said. He didn't give them a specific day. This is the Spirit's going to come on this day. That's not what he says. He's like, in a few days. Well, that's very ambiguous. If you're a type A personality like me, it's like, details,
what,
please.
What day would that be?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're kind of living that right now?
Always. As a young adult, I'm like, what am I doing today again? I don't actually know. Yeah, something exciting.
It's so good. Always. The other thing I wanted to give is a quote from Spurgeon, and that Spurgeon said that in Leviticus, we're told that this first fruit, it is about the giving of two loaves. They would take two loaves, and they would do that as a wave offering before the Lord. And he said the two loaves would be the nation of Israel and then the Gentiles. And so a presentation within Pentecost happens of the two houses of bread, essentially, is what Spurgeon implies. So I think that's kind of fun, too, seeing the joining of that and becoming one. All right, so those are some little heads up. I'm going to give a short outline on the whole chapter, but then we'll just focus in on the first four verses. So the outline for this chapter is Holy Spirit will come in Acts 2, 1 through 13, and what happens. And then Peter addresses the crowd in 2, 14 through 41. And in that sermon, Peter gives the proclamation of how the prophecy is fulfilled through what Joel had to say, and then Peter also proclaims that Christ's work is proven by the Spirit of God coming, and then Peter talks about David and how he foretold about the Messiah, and then he proclaims about his resurrection, and that's proof that he's Lord. And then the last part in verses 37 through 41, this is where the people are like, oh no, what must we do? And he challenges them about repenting and that they need to follow through with baptism. So that's important. And then talks about how the early church, the first church, is formed and how they gather together. They're in fellowship and they break bread and do the apostles' teaching. So that gives us a little heads up of how we're laid out. Okay, so here we have the Pentecost, and it's they're all in one accord and they're one place, and all of a sudden there is this sound. A crazy rushing wind, and the power and the movement of God. And this is the same word that is used for the Spirit of God. And it is also the same word that is used for the breath of God. And a couple of places that this is seen in the Bible is in Genesis 1 and creation, where the Spirit is blowing and over the waters and the separations happen. Okay. And then in the creation of man, when he breathes into man, and man has life. But then also the Spirit in Ezekiel, where it talks about the dry bones and God breathing into the dead dry bones and giving them life and strength. So what we need to know is that when we hear the movement of the Spirit of God, it's going to be something that brings life.
Yeah.
And it is something that will bring power. Okay, that is consistent with the rest of scripture. So have that in mind as we're going through this. So it's such an exciting passage. When we first read this, what would you say is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear about the Spirit moving suddenly among them? What do you immediately think of?
It's kind of weird, honestly. Like the whole thing of this fire coming, this crazy wind, and tongues of fire separating. I was like, I don't know if the Holy Spirit's always a little bit different from the way I would present myself, which is a good thing. But something that did connect with me was it connects back to this idea of John when he's talking, John the Baptist, he's prophesying about this, the Savior who's coming. He's like, I baptize with water, but he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so this is what Luke is thinking when he says tongues of fire. He's like connecting it back to what John had already said.
Right. Yeah. That's good. Good.
And also thinks about like through salvation and the fire that comes into your heart, you know, the purity of God. And I don't know, I just, that flame, because it's not actual, it's not an actual fire, but it's not literally, right?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I didn't think so either, but
no.
I don't know.
How about you, Carrie?
Wow.
It's all right if you don't have anything.
I'm just listening to you guys.
That's okay.
It's all right to receive.
Well, yeah. I just think it ignites our heart so that we can go out and ignite somebody else's heart.
Mm. Yeah, and it kind of...
You know, the fire.
It talks... It's Paul. He talks to Timothy, and he says, fan into flame the gift of the Spirit that's in you, which was through the laying on of hands.
Thing, yeah.
And so it's the same thing. Fan it.
Right, which would be the life and the power. Okay, I love the fact that you guys were actually talking through some of the actual words that are used to describe. And between a couple of different commentators, I found some different key words that each of them kind of consistently use. So this isn't just one commentator. It was a whole bunch of them that I came up with this. And so the first one is that the Holy Spirit, when he comes with a purpose. And it's very intentional, and it's very, like, I have a purpose. And we'll go into the Holy Spirit's purposes, the things that we know that Scripture tells us about him. The other thing is that the Holy Spirit comes. That means God's presence is there, okay? And you can't have the Holy Spirit apart from the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so it's purpose and it's God's presence. And then the third one that I found was obviously over and over, because Jesus told them, in the ascension, I'm sending him to you. A promise is coming. So it is the fulfillment of that promise. And so anytime that we are talking about the Holy Spirit and knowing, we just need to know he's a fulfillment of a promise, that he's a gift that has been given to us and he's ours. And then the fourth one is that by receiving him, that means we have God's good pleasure. He is a gift of God, and so it's the pleasure of God for him to give him to us. And then the fifth one that I found was the symbolization. I can't remember, was it Sandy? You talked about the purification, that it's a symbol for purity must happen, that it's to purify. And so when this scripture talks about that fire in our minds, we should be thinking of the refiner's fire. And when they talk about, like, the silver and the dross in scripture and how they'll clean out the dross so that it will be pure. That is the workings of the Holy Spirit, is to purify us so that we are equipped for good works.
Right.
And
kind of like sanctification is what comes to mind.
Yeah, that is exactly the
cleansing our heart, completely changing us.
Yeah. That would be another word. It's just they're using a P word.
Right.
If you notice, they're all P words. And then
they do that, you know.
I know. But it was funny because it was from multiple ones in different ways. And then the power, understanding that his power has purpose. It's not abstract. It's not nebulous. It's not unexplainable. That because we are told in the fruit of the Spirit that one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Over and over on the commentators, they talk about the fact that the Spirit of God, because it has a purpose, that the purpose, you know, it's not going to be in confusion or chaos, it will be intentional with purpose. And then the last one would be that it's revealing that he has sat, when it says, and the Spirit of God sat upon them, that is actually revealing his permanent position, that the promise that we have, that the moment we believe in Christ, that the seal of the Holy Spirit is upon us, that is a revelation of his permanent position of dwelling within us as a believer. And so those kind of help us to get our focus where it needs to be in thinking through, you know. So I'm just going to read them in order, and I had them out of order, so I'm going to have to look. So it's purpose, presence, promise, pleasure, and purification, the power, and his permanent position. So that's kind of cool and how he lays things out for us.
And when we think of that word upon, you think of Mary, when the Holy Spirit came upon her, when Christ was conceived.
Right.
Yeah. So with, in, upon, those are the words I think about when I hear talk about the Holy Spirit or think about him.
That totally fits being a teacher.
I know. That comes out, doesn't it, sometimes?
It does. And it makes sense that you would focus in on that. That's awesome. I just like, oh, I just saw Sandy in her teacherness.
Teacherness.
Yeah.
But it's really cool seeing the transition from the Old Testament where someone would be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it'd be a temporary thing. Mm-hmm. And this is
correct.
This permanent. Is permanent.
Right.
Yeah.
That's when it came upon them.
Right.
Because it wasn't with them or in them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Christ was with them.
Correct.
So that was the next step. And then in us is the last step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful. So in the last week, just dwelling through and thinking through my life and different circumstances I've had, and I was in a circumstance where I was being confronted with a situation where I could have allowed anger and judgment and bitterness to be what defined how I would act. Mm-hmm. And praying through and just asking God, would you just be evident in me, allow your presence to be seen. And just that's all I was asking. Just let that be the case. And so surprised by God and so surprised by the power of the Holy Spirit that when I have prayed and I have asked for it and I have the expectation for it to happen, and then all of a sudden it happened in mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
And the peace mm-hmm. of knowing that it was him and it wasn't me. I couldn't claim that, I'm a good girl. I did this. Because mm-hmm. everything in my flesh would want to go contrary. He surprised me by the ability to love and forgive and serve when everything in me would have liked to have judged and been bitter and angry mm-hmm. and hold a grudge. And that is what the presence of the Holy Spirit does in us when we're willing to surrender mm-hmm. to it. And I loved how Hosanna used the phrase that it's, the obedience of waiting for him and allowing him to do the work, having that expectation of him being able to accomplish his good work in us. And so that coming upon us, filling us, dwelling in us is permanent. Now, whether or not we choose to allow the work of that, mm-hmm. that's where we have to choose obedience mm-hmm. and being willing to surrender to him. And so I'm so glad that you're listening with us and Cultivating Hearts. And we would love for you to come back because we're going to still discuss what we can know about the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit's work. And then we're going to see more about Peter's sermon and what he taught. So if you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at cultivatinghearts.org or opendoormission.org. We would love to hear from you. Thank you. God bless.